Hello, and welcome to episode 24 of the Surviving Paralysis Podcast. My name's Jeremy Dixon, here with my co-host, Brandon Stevens. How are you doing, Brandon?
Jeremy, what's up? Welcome. Welcome back. Welcome back. That's what they say. I'm good, man. Everything's going great. I'm glad to be back on another week of the Surviving Paralysis Podcast, and just working through this little bit of rain we got going on over here. It's a nice summer, nice cool summer, yet hot and humid.
Yeah, no doubt. I missed out on a concert. I was feeling a little sore throat yesterday, and it was supposed to rain all day, so I decided not to go to a concert, and missed out because I don't think it rained until after the concert was over.
Well, also, you know, I don't think you'd want to just sit outside and watch a concert in the rain.
No.
I'm sure a lot of people bailed on that concert.
Yeah. Some friends of mine went still, and they, shout out Sarah and Dave Clark. They went and they had a great time. It looked, it was pretty full.
Yeah.
It looked pretty full.
I mean, it's in Washington State, you have to learn to kind of just deal with that stuff.
Very true. You know, on a side note, we did go to a concert that was indoors.
Yes.
And, you know, I did make a post on social media that...
Yeah, thanks for that, because
I'm 40. I put the wrong day on there.
Well, that's all right. You vague booked it a little bit, that whole thing, and so I had to... My wife, Carmen, she was like, what happened there? Like, what happened?
Yeah, I didn't give any details, but we did almost get kicked out of a Nas Escobar show.
Hey...
And,
you do still got it a little, man. Let me just tell you.
We have to, you know, we still get down. I don't care how old we are. So we had a great time at that. The Live to Walk Again was in the building. Had a great time. And, that was a lot of fun.
It was good to see a legend in concert. That was one of those shows where I was just, like, kind of in awe the whole time watching... like history, you know, go through.
Seriously.
And he's a great performer too. But just be growing up in the 90s and, you know, listening to hip hop most of my life, and just listening to going to that show, that was pretty iconic show.
It was a lot of fun. I'm glad we made it happen. You know, today we actually just completed, I just finished an interview, with my guy, Tony Davenport. He actually, Cherie mentioned him to me, and then I noticed he's from Georgia. Our guy, Anton Clifford's from Georgia. I asked Anton about him. Anton said he's amazing.
Oh, he co-signed for him.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, yeah. So, you know, we talked to him. I got to look at my notes here, Brandon, because I don't even know everything that he is.
That's good. When your bio is so long, somebody can't remember it.
Seriously. He owns Kinetic Touch Medical Massage in, I'm not sure what town in Georgia, it's outside of Atlanta, but, he is, he's a neurologic rehab specialist, medical massage practitioner, kinesiotherapist, and an energy medicine practitioner. And he is a retired Marine Corps officer.
Dang.
And he's going to have his PhD in 2020.
Wow.
Guys, he's like the most interesting man in the world, for real.
It's never too late. God, I don't know what I was watching the other day, but, you know, they said it's just never too late to get started, no matter how old you are.
I heard that too.
What were we watching anyways? But nevertheless, if you're getting your PhD in 2020 after you've already accomplished that much in life.
Yeah, I guess amazing.
Yeah.
He was with Next Step Atlanta, too.
Oh, okay.
For a while.
Great.
And then kind of branched off on his own. And he made it, you know. I mean, he didn't he wasn't trying to drop a diss track, but he basically was like,
wow.
You know,
he tried to ether.
Well, he basically said that he wanted to be able to like look at all different types of, you know, all different ways to help people and not just be on.
He
like,
felt like he was a little too boxed in.
Yeah, he like thought it might have been a little too boxed in, but yeah. You know, he had good things to say about Next Step Atlanta.
Yeah,
too.
I mean, they're definitely doing something for that specific segment, and you can't hate on that at all.
No, not at all. So yeah, I mean, Tony, we're gonna bypass the what I learned on the internet this week, but we're gonna get to this.
Dang,
interview.
That's my favorite part, man.
We'll get back to it. Don't worry, it's coming back. But nothing that I found on the internet this week was as interesting as what Tony talks about.
That's
so,
fair.
So we're just gonna get to Tony. He's the man. He was nice enough. I think we talked for. Oh, it was close to an hour, so.
So he's filling up the podcast for us this week.
He definitely gave us some content for sure. So yeah, we will get to that, and then we'll be back on the other side. All right, the Surviving Paralysis Podcast is pleased to welcome Tony Davenport from Kinetic Touch Medical Massage. He is a Marine Corps officer, retired. He's a neurologic rehab specialist, medical massage practitioner, kinesiotherapist, energy medicine practitioner, and he'll be getting his PhD in 2020. Tony, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, thanks so much for getting on. Yeah, we, you know, is there any other, sounds like you do quite a few things. It's very interesting. All these titles, I don't know, you know, if you can fit any more in there.
There are some more that aren't listed, but, you know, it's not stuff that I'm currently practicing. Over the years, you know, it branched from pro boxing trainer to taekwondo instructor to, you know, a personal train for a while. And I did a lot throughout the fitness industry, if you want to call it that, and there was a lot of dissatisfaction with the way things were going and some of the people you end up dealing with. So I needed to take those skills and put them to better use for a more appreciative reasoning behind it. And I definitely found that with neurologic rehab.
Wow. Yeah, that's awesome. That was kind of my first question to you. You know, we focus a lot on spinal cord injuries on this podcast, and you know, kind of we're hoping to put together you know, different technologies and different studies to basically find a cure for paralysis, hopefully sooner than later. But when did you start working with people dealing with neurologic issues and specifically spinal cord injuries?
And April of 2008, I started working at a physical therapy clinic in Fayetteville, Georgia, that offered spinal cord injury recovery. And in this clinic, it wasn't just standard physical therapy and using me as an exercise physiologist. The practitioner there offered a multimodality approach to a manual therapy healing type approach, quantum touch mechanics, touch for health type acupressure healing. There was chiropractic care, there was massage care, there was cold laser and all these other ways of helping the body foster a healing at the cellular level that went into each person's session. So I saw, before I knew what was anything in the spinal cord injury industry, I was exposed to this approach where people were coming for therapy and their average day was 3 to 6 hours of therapy. And that total package is what meant you recovered.
Right.
You know, it was by name, First Step Physical Therapy. And the owner, she has more acronyms behind her name than I do. That's part of my motivation. you know, she's a big inspiration to me. a very intuitive teacher, and she demanded excellence, and I learned a lot under her. I still use, you know, ideas and concepts that she taught me even back then. But I worked there as a exercise physiologist.
Okay.
And doing the exercise portion of a person's therapy that we had a team collaborated on and then prescribed and I executed. And that's where, you know, we talked about changes and improvements or anything like that that was happening that needed to be addressed for tweaking to continue to progress a person through the stages and or phases of recovery.
Oh, fantastic. And did that clinic turn into Next Step Atlanta eventually? I thought I read that on your...
No, she is still First Step physical therapy. She has 3 locations now.
Oh, wow.
So I would be, for performance reasons, was eventually let go. And while I was there, I was told about Project Walk by several of the clients. And the Project Walk that was in Carlsbad at the time in 2008 was alive and well and doing okay. And I started talking with the program manager there. And at the time, I could not afford to fly out myself and pay to do the training for a week to become an apprentice in their methods in 2008. So come 2011, I had the money to do so. And I had another person whom he has a T11 spinal injury that both of us was interested in going. We put our minds together, our schedules together, and we got out there and I spent a week with them training to be an apprentice. And I continued to work with him privately once we both came back here to Atlanta.
Oh, wow.
And it was during that time that the leadership at Project Walk told me about the gentleman whose son had sustained a C6 spinal injury that would then later, a couple months later, open Project Walk Atlanta, at which point I helped him open the facility. I helped move the equipment into that facility, put it together, perform maintenance on it, you know, and I would be the lead. I was more or less the lead and program manager of Project Walk to do our transition to become Next Step Atlanta and continue to be the lead up until May 22nd of this year.
Oh, wow. And that's when you branched out on your own?
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. So, yeah, Tony, what are your main practices when you are working with somebody dealing with a spinal cord injury? I've seen a lot of the videos on your website and on your social media, I guess, showing, you know, you getting great range of motion increases for people dealing with spinal cord injuries or, you know, reducing pain through, it looked like you had some electrodes hooked up to them. Can you explain, you know, tell us a little bit about what you do when you're, you know, working on somebody with a spinal cord injury?
Professionally, a person's quality of life matters deeply to me. It mattered enough to say the exercise model, exercise in general, able body, spinal injury, doesn't matter, can create pain. And if you're not careful.
Right.
So I expressed to the owners of Next Step now and then Project Walk that we need to show folks that we care about them. And actually with the mission statement being to improve the quality of life of those people living with spinal cord injury. It's like, well, if you look at the actual quality of life, you know, I'll be honest, I worked for Project Walk Atlanta and it wasn't in Next Step Atlanta. We became Next Step Atlanta at the time I had recently started. I started my PhD in April of 2016. And at that point, I had not actually read the quality of life questionnaire for spinal cord injury or for neurologic impairment. Like nobody made mention of that actual, this is a standard measure in research. So reading those questions and looking at the Barthel Index and the Spinal Cord Independence Measure, the third version, and the ABLE scale, these are all factors of activities of daily living that affect someone's quality of life. So how we're supposed to be using exercise to help improve a person's capabilities during their daily living that would then, you know, for those who are interested to want to walk, okay, we get that. But the rest of everyone whom I would meet and know, they say, hey, look, if I had this better function, I'm fine living my life off the way it is. And where that resonated with me was, how do I help someone improve their quality of life, literally, for the activities of daily living by being pain-free or better able to fight neurologic pain off and look at how a person functions and moves and say, hey, okay, maybe if you can balance better to put your shirt on, or balance better to get in and out of the car, or balance better to reach and pick up something and not fall over because of the limit of range of motion you have in a joint and your upper extremities, maybe that's something I know I can positively influence. So as I went through as a student in massage therapy school, when I started that in 2015, I immediately was starting to do, I did all of my homework assignments on folks in chairs so that I saw right away the, you know, do's and don'ts and was able to better assess their capabilities and improve upon their functionality through massage therapy and while I was doing the exercise model. So if it meant a person coming to Project Walk Atlanta or Next Step Atlanta and we're having to slow a session down or stop a session entirely because they're in so much pain from what a joint dysfunction has created, and that's from wheeling the chair. And that's not just wheeling the chair, that's just driving a power chair for that matter. Right. You know, because people use the function they have and they overuse it. So all of this stuff led me down a path of what research is there out there that I can use and employ to better help. And that started with the manual therapy model, with massage therapy and going forward to getting advanced training in the medical massage and advanced orthopedics. I'm actually working on my national board certification in orthopedic massage as well. So that's giving me ground to really look at someone and say, hey, there's dysfunction in your posture. Here's what muscles are creating it. Here's how I can mobilize and release that tissue. And then here's how with exercise, electrical stimulation, and maybe some postural manipulation, we can improve your function in that area. And now you're better off in your daily life. And in that journey, I was introduced to the biofeedback microcurrent, which is calibrated to the human nervous system more specifically than a standard TENS unit. Now, the FDA approval for the devices is for TENS pain management. But the reality is the calibration, the software of the device is calibrated to the human nervous system to listen to it, to communicate with it, to help change patterns of cellular activity. And then I took a deeper look at that and realized this is all done on specific frequencies that we all operate at. So when we say, hey, here's the nervous system, it's the electrical circuitry. Well, all of that can be measured in frequencies. And every tissue operates at different frequencies. And so these expensive devices are able to read and function or have modes on them that can be tuned to different frequencies to influence the different systems of the human body, all the way from cellular repair to muscle contraction to creating vasodilation or vasoconstriction, you know, for whatever purpose we may need it. It came down to the skillful use of understanding bioelectricity to better help and use a device on someone to help them deal with whatever ailment they may have been presenting. So in massage, on the massage table, for example, if I run my hand across your shoulder, the front of your shoulder, and that hurts, and that's me just lightly touching it, and it's tender to touch, I can break out the microcurrent device, use one of the accessories to kind of paint over the area and just glide over the area gently at a specific frequency, and it changes the sensory of your tissue, literally, on the spot. Wow. And in a couple minutes, I can now run my hand across that shoulder and it's not going to hurt you. Now I can actually do deeper work to that shoulder to help get the range of motion and postural correction we need for a person sitting in a wheelchair to sit up straighter, you know, which has other connotations when their posture is okay in the chair.
Right.
So with that studying of the frequencies, that pointed out post-electromagnetic field therapy, which would then capture my interest, to which point one of my clients, a race car driver up in North Georgia, has this elite device in his living room that he introduced me to, and he pulled strings with the company to get me into their owner circle for the training, which would then further my knowledge of how resonance frequency and pulse frequency influence human body and cellular activity for health purposes. And that took me down a road where now the combination of biofeedback and pain, microcurrent for pain management, and using pulse electrotherapy at different intensities and different frequencies, you can now either foster healing, exercise muscles, or calm someone down. You can treat brain, you can treat joints, you can treat the average person all the way to someone who was born paralyzed or born with anything for that matter.
Wow.
That we can now address and affect the change of any problem that's causing them dysfunction in their life or affecting their daily quality of life, to at least affect improvement. Like how can we take the model that we know as our medicine today and improve upon it? And of course, the standards are FDA approval, get the doctor, the medical doctors, the PTs, the OTs, everybody to sign off on it, to implement it as a protocol. But when that doesn't serve the purpose to the individual, that's where someone like me comes along and says, hey, okay, while the other powers that be are taking a look at the science that they choose to use, and that's literally the science they choose to use, there is research out here done in this country supporting every claim that I'm making. So now I learned real quick when I trained with Project Walk and trained with Eric Harness, he's still doing great work, that within this industry, you speak from the science, you don't speak based on experience alone. Now, experience helps to elaborate on examples, but if you don't already start somewhere with the research, then it doesn't matter. And the further we went along, we looked at, well, a lot of the research initially was based on the animal model, and the animal model has different healing mechanisms that we don't particularly have as humans. So, but it's a starting point. And then when you see it applied in the human model, and sometimes where it's applied in the animal model in the United States and it's not applied in the human model in the United States, it may be in a human model in another country. And at least it gives us a framework to start with. So by having this framework from the research that I've read and been exposed to, now I have a clear pathway to travel with the use of the devices to better affect someone's capabilities or how they're feeling. And that's what started getting me the type of results that you're seeing, that I've been seeing. Some of it catches me off guard. I don't go into it knowing that this is what's going to happen. I go into it knowing that this is going to start something at a cellular level, affect the change in a person. And then once we're done, there's going to be an outcome. But because it is the nervous system and its complexity, we have to ask the question, is there sensory that you're picking up on? Is there something new movement-wise that you can do that you couldn't before? Is something waking up, or, you know, hell, later that night, was something happening that was out of the ordinary that caught you off guard?
Right.
And that's how we have to kind of go about it in the chronic stages of dealing with the injury.
Absolutely. That's amazing. That's amazing. Tony, so you just talked a little bit about the pulse electromagnetic field, or PEMF. I've heard a bit about that in the past, and we've talked to a couple of other people that use, you know, different PEMF devices. And I saw that at Kinetic Touch, you also do a shockwave therapy. Can you, what's the difference between PEMF and shockwave therapy?
Okay. Shockwave therapy can be either light energy, that's like a spark gap or a spark plug, if you will, to create light energy and push that through the tissues, you know, to stimulate cellular processes. Or it can be acoustic. So the device I have is a mechanical, like, jackhammer that creates an acoustic wave, sound wave that travels through the tissues that causes the same cellular response. So depending on the cost and where you buy the device from, you're going to have one that can do either the more expensive devices. Like when I learned shockwave therapy with TRT LLC, that's here in Woodstock, Georgia, they have a light energy device. And so a client introduced them to us at Project Walk. The premise was, this shockwave therapy helps produce tissue regeneration. And the question, the research question was, will it produce tissue regeneration in the injured spinal cord?
Okay.
So we began to, we presented the information to our client base, and people began to sign on, and what data was collected, we saw in what started in 2013 and went into 14 and 15, we saw changes and improvements in some people's sensory, motor function, lung function, sexual function, bladder and bowel sensory and control, temperature regulation. We saw a variety of changes happening in people, but everyone was getting something different. So we knew that it had efficacy. So it's like, how do we make it more standardized? And TRT had some bigger projects that they moved on to, but it left a question in my mind. So of course, that's, you know, eventually why I was able to eventually make a purchase for my device. But the PEMS is one of two things. It's either a resonant wave, which is a slow radiating kind of just emitting from magnetic coils type wave. And then there's the natural pulse. You know, so right now, if we go outside and put our feet in the grass, what you're going to be getting at a very, very quietly is the Earth's magnetic field at 7.8 hertz.
Okay.
You know, that's why being outside at the beach and walking in the grass and going on picnics and being out in nature makes us feel so good. It's not just that people love hugging trees. You know, we love being out there for other reasons.
Yeah.
So, you know, it makes us feel good. And that's one of the reasons why. Now, mechanical engineers and physicists and biochemists and everybody figured out how to take that and harness a pulse magnetic wave through the body to affect the tissue. So when you get a pulse through you, the pulse can be strong enough to actually make a small contraction happen or make your body move. It's not causing any discomfort, but it's just that strong.
Okay.
And so if you imagine like some of the sci-fi movies and when somebody shoots a big sonic wave, you know, and you see the wave of light energy moving across and it's blowing the person across the field, a pulse can do the same thing, except you can change how fast or how slow that pulse is happening with the particular device, depending on what level of one you're dealing with. So pulse electromagnetic field therapy serves the means to take magnetic coils and the number of turns in the coils that determines the strength of what kind of pulse, how much of a pulse it can create. And then pulse is energy. You take electricity from the wall, convert it, and push it through that magnet, and it releases a pulse. So pulsing can help any cell and any tissue radiate at its respective frequency. Whereas shockwave therapy is only taking acoustic sound and helping to repair tissue. It's telling your body, your brain, your nervous system to stimulate and produce, according to one study, stem cell proliferation. So you help a person use their own natural stem cell production versus, you know, the controversial leaving the country to go get it done.
Right.
So you also, with shockwave therapy, people, I mean, tell me a person with a spinal cord injury that has not experienced or is currently experiencing drop foot. And I could sit here for another hour and tell you all about the mechanisms and why that's happening. But case in point is, if the ankle, if a joint or any tissue was that tight, locked down and bound up, and you're and the response to it is, let's stem tight, bound up, non-functioning tissue to make it work the way we want it to. No wonder it doesn't have such a great success to it. But I'm not going to target and go after those I'm saying I've listened to enough of people on the ground zero at ground zero to say they don't use the devices that they bought insurance to get paid for, or if they do use them, it's minimal use. So if you take the tissues and you use Shockwave on it, what happens? And as you see in the videos on my Instagram of me working with the 19-year-old boys with cerebral palsy who had no practitioner in their life work on their ankles because they put rigid AFOs on them and left it at that. I mobilized those boys' ankles using Shockwave therapy.
Wow.
Those boys' ankles, their ankles after 19 years can move, can dorsiflex, plantar flex, invert, and evert. Now with soft ankle braces on and orthotics in their shoes, we can do standing, and they're standing up straighter, and they're pushing better through their quadriceps, and they're getting better improved posture through their lower body. And when they're taking steps, they're seeing the weight distribution in their feet improve. Now, again, the way for 19 years, so there's some, there is some orthopedic reforming of the bone structures and the surrounding area for sure. But at least we see where now in the kinetic chain, and any practitioner that's serious and intelligent in this field knows that the kinetic chain, as we're evaluating it, starts at the ankles and moves its way to the head. So now from the head, I need to look at how the brain is pushing the supraspinal input, if you will, how information is coming from the brain down the spinal cord to their tissues to improve the way they're moving. That's another ball game. That's not what Shockwave will do. That's something else.
All right.
But, you know, but at least mechanically, I can address it, and I have addressed it, and we're seeing improvements, and the mother's ecstatic. Because for her, it's been 19 years of therapy every week. Now, she wants a break. She wants to throttle back some. So she's not getting any younger. So, hey, let's help help them to be a little bit more functional so that she can get something of a let up, you know, in the coming years. You know, that's where we're at with their particular therapy. But anybody else that I've used it on so far is the same result. Anyone with tight tonic tissues, I've been able to use the therapy and see a change in the tissue. Now it becomes a matter of habituating the tissue and doing it frequently enough to where the pattern sticks.
Okay. Wow, that's mind blowing, really. You know, with the 19-year-olds that you were working with, that their ankles were completely locked up. How long did that take after starting to use the Shockwave therapy that they were able to start, you know, loosening up those muscles?
Now, we probably did. I would say that I did approximately 1,000 shots in and around their ankle. So it was on the ankle, in the folds of the ankle. It's not on hard bone, not on the malleoli, not on the calcaneus on the bottom of the heel. But we went on the fascia of the foot. We went all along around the ankle, and while I was moving the nozzle, I was like gently moving the ankle too. And what I felt happen was, despite the neurologic tone in the muscle tissue to resist the change in length that happened, is that once they were fully relaxed, it started moving freer. And we saw this change and say, okay, well, the question empirically became, how many sessions will it take at this energy level and at this number of shocks to make that change permanent? And at this point, we're, you know, a month and a half into it, and their ankles now have some freedom of play. The boys are relaxed and their legs are straight. There's something to be noted. If you bend the person's leg at the knee, if you choose to dorsiflex or plantar flex or do anything with the ankle, if there's no restrictions, it'll go freely. If there is some restrictions, it'll still move a lot freer. In both cases, a lot freer than if you straighten the leg. And there, I can explain that mechanism in another video. When you straighten the leg and you go to move the ankle, it tightens up, and now you have to deal with, you know, what mechanisms are actually keeping the ankle from moving. So when their legs are straight, when they're laying on the Y table, I could go up to them and start moving their ankles at the beginning of the session, and there's some play now that wasn't there before we ever started.
Oh, wow.
So then you start the treatment, it quickly releases and stays loose for the remainder. So now, because they are, you know, at home, you know, they're getting, they have a light gate at home, they have standing frame at home, they have assisting standards of different varieties in their house where they're able to do these things without physically going to a therapy clinic. So we're able now to capitalize on that. Whereas before, standing was, you know, you're standing, you're looking at a person, you're seeing the dysfunction in their posture, and it's like, how can I let someone, how can I train the body to try to walk and let them do it with all of this dysfunction in their joints? Because all I see right now, if I see a knee hyperextend, then I see bone-on-bone crushing between the femur and tibia. So we're going to tear up an ischias, and we're going to tear up a whole bunch of knee aspects. So this person's going to create arthritis, osteoarthritis in the knee. You know, so what good is it to help someone walk again, only for them to create osteoarthritis to where they can't walk or have another set of pills they got to take to deal with it? So, you know, using the shockwave and PM have now given us the ability to employ their use while skillfully training the tissues to move the way they should to help a better have better kinematics when they're moving, so that they're not creating other, lining themselves up for other injury models to occur.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah, that's you know, just the fact that you're able to see all of that just from, you know, looking at how their legs are, you know, their ankle moves up all the way through their head and vice versa. You know, that's super interesting to me personally. And, you know, Tony, the one other quick thing I wanted to ask you about, I know we're running a little long here. I promise you it wouldn't be that long, but I wanted to know kind of, okay, I appreciate it. I really do. What I wanted to find out a little bit about kinesio therapy and what exactly that entails.
Kinesiologists, let's start with the fact that there's a bachelor's degree for kinesiologists. You know,
okay.
A person goes through the four-year program, they declare it, they do a bunch of science courses in their core curriculum, and they come out with a bachelor of science in kinesiology. And they'd be like, well, what do I do with that? You can go, kinesiology is the study of human movement. So it's understanding what the tissues are doing at a particular time when you're creating specific movements at that exact moment. And those guys and gals who are best at it, who are in the lab working with pro athletes to help them make that one move just right at the right time to make a play that wins the game, you know, to have the equipment, that's what the big aspect of it. But if you back off, you say, hey, if we're studying human movement, if we studied it and we're looking at this person now that has sustained this neurologic injury, okay, how do we improve their movement while addressing all other factors that correlate to it? Kinesiology is that. So I can't call myself a physiotherapist because the American Physical Therapy Association some years ago, you know, said that name is now synonymous with physical therapists. And by state law, you cannot call yourself a physical therapist if you have not gone through the proper screening process, done the curriculum, taken the exam, passed the test, and you're licensed to practice. So nomenclature and names have become very, very intensive within the industry. I think this was definitely the chiropractic profession was using the term physiotherapist. At some point, I think that was also something they wanted to distinguish between, and that's just between chiropractic versus physical therapy. But ultimately, I want someone to understand and know that people ask me what I am, who I am. So I could say clinical exercise physiologist, as I have to some people, and they're like, you said all a bunch of fancy names. I don't know what that is. I was like, oh, I'm a body mechanic. I understand how you move, and I have tools to help me correct how you move. And if your way of moving is causing pain, we can in some way, somehow troubleshoot that problem, just like a mechanic would troubleshoot a car. I was a jet engine mechanic in the Marine Corps. Automotive tuning and maintenance was my hobby. And I didn't go into that as my mainstream job. One of my close friends told me, get a job and keep the hobby. So I didn't go into automotive maintenance. Either way, I was going to be working with my hands and working on something.
Okay.
So understanding how a person moves makes me a kinesiologist. In a loose enough sense here, my degrees don't specifically say that, but I employ that science very, very astutely. And granted that I have had a variety of certifications that would suggest everything otherwise, and call myself any name in the human sciences I want, essentially. But, you know, what it comes down to is I just want folks to know that I understand how you move, I understand how you need to move to create, to do your activities of daily living, how we all do that, and how those ADLs affect your measure of the quality of life, and how can I use the science that I've been studying and continue to study and grow with, how can I use it to help prove that?
Right. Yeah, that totally makes sense. I like your description of being a body mechanic, and figuring out what the way you move and how that's either causing pain or like how you could move better to avoid pain. That's a great analogy that I hadn't really thought of. Kind of in conclusion here, Tony, I wanted to, bring up, our guy, friend of our podcast here, Anton Clifford. He said he works with you or has worked with you quite a bit in the, over the last little while. And you came highly recommended from him. So I just wanted to give him a quick shout out too on the podcast here.
It's the best, man. He's been a big supporter. I spend time with him. Even now, we're trying to get him on a schedule. I've gotten myself so busy, he's busy doing, his acting, pursuing his acting now, and he's doing some good things with it. And, it's not just it's a professional relationship that is as much as a friendship of anything, but it's folks like him that can keep me motivated, wanting to do more to help improve outcomes, because everyone has their own saga they're dealing with. And, when you're on that journey with them and you see the change occur and they appreciate what it is that you can do for them and how that works out. And I'm not trying to break the bank to do it. I'm not price gouging people like the rest of the medical industry is.
Right.
That has meaning. And I have people that insist on paying me more than I ask. And there's a modest amount that I need to keep my lights on at home, but like I really don't need to be hundreds of dollars an hour to do what I'm doing just to help somebody feel better. And
right,
Anton is someone who's been honest enough from me, and I've been as transparent as I can with him, and it's folks like him that keep motivated to want to continue. When they ask, people ask, what am I doing with myself? What do I plan to do with my doctorate? What I plan to, folks knew. It became no secret that I planned on the next step Atlanta at some point anyway. And he was asking what I was going to do. I was like, I'm just going to continue to help folks the best I can. But at least this time, I'm building me and not somebody else's brand. And
right.
I'm happy with the way I'm doing it and not being dictated to by what others disseminate down the pipeline and expect you just to go along with. And don't knock the system because our system works. It's like, well, there's more than one system in the world, and so
right,
people got to recognize and understand that. And if nothing else, if everyone we know living with a spinal injury at one point goes to therapy and they go to multiple therapies, then that should tell you right then and there that you should be open within that system to employ the use of multiple therapies, but not be limiting in such a way that, no, this is what we're doing, this is how we're doing, and this is the way we believe it should be done. Okay, well, some other guy went another way and he's getting better results, so I'm going to go talk to him too.
Yeah.
So I can get the best in the world. And that's what I've learned from working under Dr. Sue Legere and the first place I worked from, being trained with Eric Harness and his staff in 2011, and I influenced then, and then still going through the Neuro Recovery Network and still learning under Neuro Recovery Learning, activity-based therapy, local motor training, dealing with restorative therapies and learning electrical stimulation and their devices and powerless, all of this comes together. It's really understanding how we can take the best of all of those worlds and package it and then deliver it onto someone wanting therapy. If it just means getting arm function to take care of yourself, that's what I'm after. If it means the PMS, and I won't get too long-winded about it, but the PMS first FDA approval in the 70s, 1979, was for bone density.
Oh, wow.
So look at spinal injury and tell me one person that doesn't deal with the bone density issue.
Yeah.
So, you know, so there's that. And then tissue repair, then we can deal with, you know, keeping your body alkaline enough to fight off UTIs and viruses and bacteria so you don't get sick as easy.
Right.
How we can help pressure more heal faster. So I now know how to use this technology to help you deal with the other secondary complications that come along with the injury that is now my more centered focus. And then if you want to talk about it, we can talk about walking later on the road. But let's make you healthy. Let's first keep you healthy so that when the epidural stimulator gets mastered and they start, hey, people, let's get in line.
Yeah.
Okay, then we can go, if they're healthy enough to go get it, and that's what you want. If that's not what you want, hey, let's talk about what you want and how we can facilitate that.
Absolutely.
That's where I'm centered at, is your general health, bone health, cellular health. Now, let's work on all the other stuff to keep your muscles healthy, keep your tissues healthy, so that you're not. So if I can reduce the tone using a PMF device. Once I get that $38,000 big leap piece that I'm working on right now, they let me loan the device. They loaned me the device for a month when I was in Next Step, and everyone that got on it felt something changed. Muscle tissues were firing more than they were. Everyone saw something improve.
Wow.
So when I have the device. So when I own a device and I have people coming through, hey, you know what? It's premature, but I'm telling you right now, to get on this $38,000 device I'm about to purchase for my clinic, for my space, the therapy's only going to be $40 an hour.
Wow. Wow, that's...
You know, that's about cellular health, every organ in your body, to every bone, to every nerve, to every blood vessel, to every aspect in your body. And if I touch you, it's only about $60 an hour.
Wow.
So you can get 2 hours of therapy for $100, and there are people out there charging $100 an hour, and you still will walk away from that therapy with nothing to chill on.
Right.
I worked that over the 11 years. So, yeah, but there were some other negative connotations as to why I'm really doing this too. But, you know, we're not going to make it about that.
Well, hey, Tony, you know, on behalf of myself and everybody in the spinal cord injury community, you know, we definitely salute you and, you know, thank you for all of your hard work. And I appreciate you jumping on the podcast here with me for a few minutes. And, you know, I'm sure that everyone's going to be happy. You definitely dropped a lot of knowledge on us. And I appreciate you, man.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, we'll definitely talk soon. I'd love to hear more about that, the $38,000 unit that you're going to buy to start working on people with. And maybe we can catch up here down the road a bit.
Yes. See it happening. It's not going to be a thing. I'll tell you that.
Awesome. Awesome. All right, Tony. Well, thank you so much, man. I will talk to you soon. All right. Okay. All right, Brandon. There was Tony. He was nice enough. Man, that guy's got so much knowledge, like, for real.
Yeah, the human body is a very interesting thing. And when your life is to study that, your work never ends, man. Your work never ends.
Yeah. I mean, that's like how he was, like, really, you know, into being a chiropractor or whatever, you know, working with athletes, and just didn't find it fulfilling. And so, you know, turned his work towards, you know, people that would really appreciate what he's doing for them and you know, people dealing with spinal cord injuries, paralysis, whatever the case may be. Strokes. I know he's got some videos of him working with some people with like some stroke victims. It's just really great, man. I mean, his whole situation is very cool, and we wish him the best of luck. Opening, you know, just getting his practice off the ground, and you know, the PhD, all that, man. He's an interesting guy. That's for dang sure.
Yeah. And now, where is he going to school at right now? Did he say?
I didn't even ask. Oh, we should have asked him that. That would have been a good question.
But he's currently in Georgia.
Yeah.
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 That's seems great. Like, it seems, man, a lot of stuff like, going yeah, on in Georgia, I man. Know,
especially for spinal cord injuries.
It's just
stuff.
A lot of stuff in Georgia in general. Atlanta must be a real happening place.
Yeah, and he made a good point there too about people with spinal cord injuries. You need to be healthy. You need to.
This is the truth.
You know, so his focus is more of like getting you healthy, getting you pain free, getting you. Eating right, things like that. Just healthy overall. So that then when, like he mentioned, if, you know, once the epidural stimulation stuff is ready to go, then people can just line up and get that procedure done. And you know, you can't, if you're, you know, completely out of shape and, you know, eat like crap, whatever, you're not going to.
That's, part of a lot of what Kai Buchholz-Nygaard mm-hmm. talks about is just, you know, what patient zero looks like and making sure that that person's ready. So even if you're not patient zero for the Live to Walk Again Foundation, you should be patient zero for your own life.
Right.
Working on that and staying healthy and eating correctly.
Well, that's why, you know, I want to thank you. Do you want to give a quick review of the Popeye's chicken sandwich that you didn't bring me? I'm glad you didn't bring me one though, Brandon. I'm glad you didn't bring me one.
Because it's not healthy?
No, it's not.
I usually don't get caught up in the hype. Usually I do the opposite of the hype.
Right.
That's kind of the way I do things in life. But you know, I was like, I like Popeye's anyway. That's probably my favorite chicken spot.
Me too.
And so yeah, I got the spicy chicken sandwich, and they're a little bit overwhelmed over there at Popeye's at the moment. But it was good, but I think your only
compared to Chick-fil-A,
your only comparison is Chick-fil-A, cause it's very similar. It's the bun.
Yeah.
It's the chicken patty, which is like, you know, their spicy chicken.
Well, Popeyes aren't a bunch of homophobic people either.
This
so.
Is true.
So yeah.
Which
eat
is
pop,
like,
eat
I'd,
Popeyes,
I'd rather
not,
support
not
them.
Chick-fil-A.
True. And it's a pickle, and they have their the barbecue ranch type sauce on it, I guess, if you will.
Okay.
I don't know. It's like a, maybe a, like a hot sauce kind of. So it was good. It was great. Okay.
You like it better than Chick-fil-A or not as much?
That's still like, I think they're about the same.
Okay.
I think they're about
the
same.
I might try one without the bun.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's basically.
Not that it's healthy, but.
I mean, you got to live a little.
It's fried chicken.
You got to live a little.
Yeah, you're right.
You got to. I mean, one chicken sandwich, Jeremy, isn't going to make you not walk again.
That's true, man. Very true. But anyway, so.
So there's the review. The review is I'll give it a 3.5 out of 5 stars.
Okay.
The most, and I don't even know if I've ever had a 5-star chicken sandwich
yet.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, people are fighting over this chicken sandwich, they say. So, I don't
know.
Well,
I did wait quite some time in line to get it, even though there was only like 5 cars in line, just because
they're that busy, huh?
They're that busy.
Oh, that's funny. Well, Brandon, I think we might have an appointment for the blue light therapy room.
Really?
I'm working on it. They're trying to squeeze us in. So,
have you ever heard of a sound bath?
Sound bath?
A sound bath.
Is that where you like get in and they shut you in to like a little chamber and with air and water?
That's a flotation. That's a flotation tank. I actually don't know, but I thought it was just an array of sounds in a confined area with, you know, very meditative, like an array of meditative sounds.
Okay.
We might need to look into this. I've been hearing some chatter about sound baths. Yeah. I don't know if water is included or not.
Okay. I just thought water because of bath.
Yeah, I also want to give a shout out.
You're being bathed in the sounds.
I also want to give a shout out to our local farmer over here, South Bay Raw, which we're going to go grab ourselves a box of fresh organic produce from our local farmers right now.
Yep, we're going to do that, and then we're going to stop and get a chicken sandwich.
Anyway. We can put some organic red leaf lettuce on it.
There you go.
Because they don't put lettuce on it.
We'll wrap it in lettuce.
You can wrap it in lettuce, yeah. There you go. Great. That's what I mean.
That's what they do at homophobic Chick-fil-A. They wrap your chicken sandwich
in lettuce. Yeah, Jeremy says,
if you want.
They're like, we're not about this. Yeah, it's true.
Well, anyway. All right. Well, thank you again to Tony Davenport. He's got like 7 acronyms after his name. I'm not even going to try. Yeah. He actually was like, there's like 4 more I could tell you, but we don't want to get it confused. So, we appreciate him hopping on the podcast and doing a quick interview or a long interview. But we will be back next week, hopefully with a review of the Blue Light Room. And I'll give a review of the chicken sandwich.